Today's scripture is Mark 4, verses 26 through 34. It's printed on the bulletin if you want to follow along. The parable of the glowing seed. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." The parable of the mustard seed. He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Of what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." The use of parables. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The word of God for the people of God.
Someone has noticed that the word "father" appears in the dictionary just before the word "fatigued" and just after the word "fathead." So to all of us fatigued fathead fathers, happy Father's Day. This video is for you. Lord, we thank you for this day to honor you as the one who protects and watches over, who is our refuge, who is our strength, who is our greatest love, who loves us with the greatest love. Let us hear your word and use it to make a difference in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. About 10 years after entering full-time ministry, I needed a set of jumper cables to my brain. Now, what I mean by that is each day had become very similar, and this job, this vocation, shouldn't be that way. And I found myself kind of lumbering along, and I wanted my passion restored. I wanted my excitement and my enthusiasm for the body of Christ restored. So I signed up to work on a Doctor of Ministry degree through Drew University. They would come every 2 weeks, and every 2 weeks you had to read 3 books and write a couple of 20-page papers. It was tough because you were still serving full time in your ministry setting. But it was exactly what I was looking for. One of the classes I took was all about the parables in the Bible. Now, the parables are absolutely fascinating, and they are very, very different from the rest of the Bible. First of all, parables are always about the kingdom of God. How many times do you hear in the scriptures, the New Testament, the Gospels, Jesus saying, the kingdom of God is like? You're about to hear a parable. Parables are always about the kingdom of God. Now, the rest of the Bible is a light unto our path. The Bible says that itself. The Bible, the Word of God, is to be a light upon our feet, a light upon our path, meant to show us the way and to guide us into a deeper faith. The parables, well, let me put it this way. Have you ever had someone shine a flashlight in your eyes? You're doing your best. You're doing like this. You're moving your head. You're grabbing the flashlight and knocking them on the head with it, saying, what are you doing? You're blinding me. AC, our four-year-old grandson, loves to shine the flashlight in my eyes. And I love to grab him when he does it. That's a parable. It is not designed to be a light that illumines the path in front of you. It is designed, parables are designed to blind us, to knock us off balance. They challenge us to see our faith in new ways and our living of it in this world. They can knock us down spiritually, but only so we can struggle to get back up with a faith that is strong enough to handle anything that life throws our way. So in that class, we read about a man who found a pearl so valuable, he sells all he has to buy the field where he found it. Wait a minute. You gave up everything for that pearl? How are you going to live? How are you going to eat? How are you going to care for your family? And that's not your field. And the pearl in that field belongs to the rightful landowner. Aren't you ripping off that landowner? How is the kingdom of God like that? Or maybe it is saying that like that pearl, the kingdom of God is worth whatever it takes to get it. In that class, we read about a man who hires workers at 6 a.m., at 9 a.m., at noon, at 3, and he pays every worker the same wage. Work 12 hours, like Al's granddaughter, on the farm. Or work only 3 hours like Al on the farm? Sorry, Al, I had to pick somebody too. And you get paid the same thing? That's not right. It's not even close to fair. We read about a farmer We read about a farmer who scatters seeds on rocky ground and thorny ground and shallow ground and finally on good soil. You know, every farmer knows that's no way to farm. You are wasting seed. You are wasting your time. Most of what you're casting seed on, it's going to die. It's going to be eaten by birds. And the kingdom of God is like a reckless farmer wasting good seed? How am I supposed to make sense of that? A landowner goes on a trip and leaves 5 talents with one of his workers. Think of it as 5 bags of gold. 2 bags of gold with another worker, and 1 bag of gold with a third worker. The first and second workers doubled the landowner's money. The third worker buried what he had been given in a field. Now, you need to know, it was an accepted practice back then to protect valuables by burying them. They had no banks. They didn't have safe deposit boxes. So bury it. Hide it. Protect it. That may be why the pearl was in the field. Who knows? He was doing a good thing. He was doing a right thing. And then the landowner returns, and from the third worker, he takes what had been given to him and gives it to the others, and then kicks him off of his property. Punished for doing the acceptable thing? Does that make sense to you? Or maybe, just maybe, it's telling us that in God's kingdom, we have to take risks, because doing nothing with what we've been given is totally unacceptable. Week after week, we study different parables in that class. And finally, one of us spoke up and said, "Professor, I'm exhausted. Every parable we've looked at has been about sacrifice and perseverance and struggle, about lost things. Are there any parables that are happy? Are there any parables that are hopeful?" And the professor had us turn to Mark, the verses we read today. A farmer who plants seeds, who casts seeds, and he goes into the farmhouse to watch his soap operas. That's the feeling you get. He's just kind of going in, taking a nap for a few weeks. And lo and behold, those seeds turn into a healthy, full harvest. And a parable about a mustard seed growing into a large plant with birds sheltering in its branches and finding shade. They are beautiful, beautiful parables filled with God's grace. It's about the mystery of God. We can go to Bible studies, but it is God working in us that does something with the word we have heard and the word we have studied. Y'all may not know this. You can come to worship and get absolutely nothing out of it. I've had people say, "Well, I don't know why I got up this morning. There was nothing in the service for me today." I got news for you. Not every Sunday is about you. First, it's about God. We're not here to worship you. We're here to worship God. And did you pray for those? Sermon wasn't for you. It wasn't something you needed. Did you pray for those who did need it? How were you involved in the service? Everybody has a reason to praise God if we look hard enough. Did you sing hymns with praise? Did you glorify God somehow during the service? Or did you just tune out because it wasn't about you? If we participate in any way in worship, then the mystery of God takes over. And great things happen we know not how, because the Holy Spirit works in us. When I had an associate at one church, I was telling her all the time, give God something to work with. Study the Bible and then wait and see what God does with it in your life. Go to worship. Do new things. And even if you fail, see what God does with it. It is God who brings life, and it is God who brings new life. Fathers, there's a message here for us today. Plant the seeds and trust God to do the rest. Maybe you've done that. Sow the seeds of kindness and love. Sow the seeds of prayer and of compassion. Let words of encouragement, acts that help others, the sharing of food, everything we do, be the planting of a seed. Trust God with that seed, and God will grow the harvest. I mean, think about this. Jesus was born in an insignificant town in a province that was pretty much despised by everybody else. He was born a baby, a crying, sniveling, needy baby. He did not appear in public until his 30th year. Then he taught for only 3 years in neighboring villages and occasionally in Jerusalem. He had only a few followers, most of them from the poor, most of them uneducated. His enemies overcame him. His enemies killed him. And those are the seeds where the mystery of God's ways took over, and he's still changing our world 2,000 years later. People of God, plant seeds. And to God be the glory. Amen.